At Pluralsight, we don't just teach skills. We are building the tech workforce who deliver results fast, accelerated by top-tier content. Lead with confidence. Lead with expertise. Visit us at Pluralsight.com to tap in and learn more.
To the old me, scared and unseen. You're the reason I built this dream. Now I speak so others thrive. Turn my scars into sound. I come alive from the ashes of the breakdown. I don't run, I rise, won't back down. This bound, every word a step, every truth profound. We don't heal in silence, we fight with grace, softness and defiance, lighting up this place. It's a call to every soul who wants to be free.
A song for welcome to Keeping It Real on Purpose, a podcast for all around women where we challenge your everyday thinking and limiting beliefs around life, relationships, and your business to help you live your life purposefully. I'm your host, Edna White, your life purpose coach, and everything else in between. But today's guest, I am so delighted to have, is none other, ladies and gentlemen, but a beautiful person. And she's an inspirational speaker, a life purpose coach, and she's a life purpose champion. Excuse me, audience, you hear that? Champion. She encourages others to take the courageous steps to reach their full potential. None other than Amanda Teal. How are you?
Oh, thank you for such a lovely introduction. No, I'm fine. Thank you very much.
Great. It's so glad to have you here, Amanda Heal. It's so great. I'm so excited to learn more about your business, which is Purpose Vision Future. Tell us about that. I really would like to hear about that.
My backstory is I was actually laid off from my job. I'm totally blind, you should know. And I worked for 17 years as a government lawyer, and I was laid off due to government downsizing. And I went on a bit of a journey. I always knew that I'd been put on this earth for a reason, but mm-hmm. I never really knew what that was.
Right.
And I asked my friends and family, and they didn't know, and asked my colleagues, and they didn't know, and read a few books about purpose, and they didn't help me either. And so I went on a bit of a journey, and to cut a long story short, I eventually, 4 years after I'd been laid off, I discovered my life's purpose. And I thought, I really very much want to help others discover their life's purpose. So I wrote two books, my first book in 2018, and my second book, I was going to write a book on courage last year when I wanted to become a speaker, and that was all stopped because of COVID. So,
right.
Or the year before last, actually, 2020. And I wrote my second book, which I rewrote my first book and made it bigger and better and put stories of clients that I'd coached in it and exercises people could do. And it was a book about discovering their life's purpose. But how I came up with the business name was that I thought, well, you discover your life purpose and you see a vision for your future.
Right. Ooh, that's very good. Very good. Now, you said that you wrote a book. Can you tell us about that book and or give us a piece of it that you so loved, like when you were writing it? It just like, it was an aha moment and you just, this is great. You know, you patted yourself on the back.
Well, my my whole second book, I did that because my first book was an 83-page paperback, and it sort of had the kernel of my journey about how I discovered my life's purpose and how other people could discover theirs. But then when I rewrote that book and wrote my second book, I like to think it's the adult that the baby book grew up into.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a 250-page hardcover.
Okay.
And it's called Seeing by Vision, Not by Sight.
Oh.
How to Discover Your Life's Purpose and Put It into Action.
Oh, wonderful. Oh, that sounds so good. That is like a really amazing. And we often talk about vision. We often talk about purpose.
Hmm.
And those things seem to come up all the time, you know, no matter what we're doing. Hmm. And what job we have, we seem to say, what is our purpose? No matter what we're doing, we could do it 40 years, you know, that's really not it. And I like the fact that you said that after you got laid off, you really saw that that really wasn't for you. You know, let's talk about that. Like, sometimes we talk about jobs or, you know, positions or education or something that, like, being an accountant, a bookkeeper, whatever it is. We think that that's our purpose. And then something kind of stirs us up, even though we know inside of us that it's really not. But something stirs us up and we change direction. Can we talk about, you know, that whole transition that you had?
Absolutely. Well, it's interesting you say that because it's true. When I was laid off, I had no identity. I felt like I'd lost everything because I always used to say, my name is Amanda Hill and I'm a lawyer.
Right.
And that was who I was. That was yep. my identity.
Yep.
And when I was laid off, I lost that identity and I sold skincare for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And that didn't really help either because it's like, well, do I want to be the lipstick lady? You know what? And I was the sort of network marketer that everybody hates. In fact, yeah. I lost lots of friends and stuff because I just pushed.
Right.
Because I was desperate to find an identity.
Right.
And then when I discovered my life's purpose, I did some coaching for a while,
mm-hmm.
And which is why I was so excited to be on your podcast. And I've now pivoted into speaking. So now I'm, you know, call myself the life purpose champion, but I'm also an inspirational speaker, and
nice.
I help business leaders and their teams build their resilience by building their courage so they can overcome uncertainty.
Right. And that's so very important. That's so very important.
And a single identity or a title, it doesn't matter. Once you discover your life's purpose, I know my life's purpose is to inspire and encourage. So whatever I call myself, it doesn't matter as long as I'm living out that purpose. So it sort of set me free.
Yeah, that's good.
Identities.
That's good. Yeah, because, you know, we talk about the roles we have, you know, like you said, lawyer, mom, sister, cousin. We have all those kind of labels and we kind of get lost as women. We get lost in them.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I completely agree.
Yeah. So when you showed up in the world as this, you know, this person that you now has figured out, hey, I got things to do, you know, I got important things to do, and I am the epitome of courage. So now I'm going to teach other people how to do that. That's how you show up in the world, right?
Yes. Yes. I use my experiences through my life as a blind person overcoming challenges to go, well, hey, you know, I spent 20 years being absolutely terrified of catching buses and now I I spent 20 years being afraid of catching buses and now I have overcome that fear to become a public relations speaker for the Guide Dogs Association, and now I travel all over Canberra to speak, and I'm even calm enough to check my email between bus stops.
Nice. Very nice. And that is a whole lot of courage. Let me just tell you. I mean, taking a bus, you do have to have courage. You really do. I mean, even a train, I mean, you really do. And that's, you know, and that's what we talk about, is the small steps matter. Because in order to get to the big steps, you have to take those small steps. And I'm so glad that you've taken those steps and you're showing corporations and businesses, you know, this is how to get the courage back for your employees or the workers or whoever's there, correct?
Yep, absolutely, absolutely. You break your big goals down into bite-sized pieces, and each little bite-sized piece you achieve, you then have a little bit more courage, and then you do the next bit, and then you have a little bit more courage, and then you do the next bit, and then you go, well, hey, maybe I'll tackle this bigger goal.
Yes.
And, yeah.
Yeah, that's important to talk about, you know, taking the goals down to little chunks, because as women, we don't celebrate our small chunks either. And that's a good thing that you're talking about, is celebrating even the small chunks, even the small pieces.
Absolutely.
You know,
absolutely.
And, you know, and it's so important as women, you know, we always want to, we see the end. We do. We plan it out and we celebrate at the end. And then, you know what happens? Is that we're not so fulfilled because we got to that goal. But what you said was to celebrate those small steps. Then you'll be able to really do the hurrah and appreciate, yeah, I did all of that. I took all of those steps. Cooper.
Oh, puppy.
He thinks he's big. But, you know, you took all those small steps. And now you can really celebrate. And it makes you more of who you are when it makes you love yourself even more.
It does. And you know, when I'm living out my purpose, when I'm encouraging people, when I'm on podcasts like this, it just makes my heart sing. It's wonderful. Mm-hmm. It's what gets me up in the morning. It's great.
Yeah, it is great. It's really great to, and it's also great to connect with other people like-minded as you, you know. And want to change the world, because we're all changing the world in our own little spaces of the world. And if we really come together, amazing things will happen. Really, really come together, you know? And just to meet one another, this is a spark. Like, this is something like two stars getting together. I'm talking about in the sky, not the celebrities. Audience, I'm talking about the stars in the sky, but they, you know, they come together and they join and they form this great spark in the sky that you see. You know, this is what it talks about, is that women getting together and celebrating each other.
Now, yes, women can do that like no one else, I think.
I think so. I mean, I you know, it is sometimes it is a push to do it, but when we do it, it's amazing. It's really amazing. So in your practice that you're now in, can you share with us a challenge that you had when you first started your journey in your business to really be that speaker?
I think the biggest challenge I've had is my mindset, my limiting beliefs. Like, you know, why would anyone read a book that you write? You're not special.
Yeah,
only special people write books. Why would anyone listen to what you have to say? You're not special. You're just an ordinary blind woman. Why would anyone listen to what you've got to say? So I think my mindset is, or more recently, why are you bothering? Why are you bothering to work so hard? Nothing's happening yet. So, yeah.
Yeah, you talking to yourself. You know, your negative self is talking. You know, your mind is talking to you and saying all these things. And that tricks us a lot of times out of getting to the next step. You know, getting to that next step, because, you know, we don't know how valuable we are. And I often tell my clients, and I know you probably do too, well, if you go to the hospital and you know you sign the donor card, right? so you give it liver or kidney, whatever, that's good to be transferred to someone else. That's not like a little bit of money, you know. So you're worth something, you know, your fingertips, everything, your eyes, like, you know, we take those things for granted, and you've become so much more without them, but yet that's still worth something. What you're doing, what you're learning, your ears now, are worth more money, than ever before. You know, it's much more. You know, you're much more. And I tell everyone, it's like, if you're something to the medical field, can you imagine what you would be alive? How important and how much money you would be worth while you're living out loud, you know?
I love that analogy. That is so good. Thank you so much. I will keep that in my arsenal of mindset to tell myself when I'm feeling down.
Yeah, you're worth so much more, you know? I look at it like, you know, because I remember signing a donor card. And so, you know, I'm always asking questions. I was like, so if something happens to me, I walk out the door, you know, you bring me in, I don't make it, you take out the kidneys. So, or, you know, whatever organ. So I was like, well, how much, the kidneys? So they're like, oh, well, to do this and to do that, they were talking like $15,000 just for the surgery. I was like, okay, so the kidney would be how much? That's a really big surgery. We're talking $50,000 to $60,000. I was like, whoa, why am I donating? You know,
but it's worth even more than that. It's worth the person's life that you're actually saving.
Absolutely.
And you're not just a human life worth.
Absolutely. So you triple that. That's millions of dollars, because now you've given back, you know, and you've given life to someone else. And who knows, that someone else may have three or four other, you know, children or a wife that they're dependent on. So excuse me, I'm stuttering now. it brings out so much more. You're so much, and now living, you can use all those organs, all those things that you know, your experiences, your knowledge, your wisdom, your education, and bring that beauty out in someone else. And I like what you do. I like what you do. I love it. I love it. I love it. So now that we know about your business, can you tell us about one client that really touched your heart? And can you tell us how that client result changed your practice, if at all?
I remember one client that I was working with. She was really unhappy in her job.
Mm-hmm.
And so back then when I was coaching, I helped her. I put her through a career tool which helps you look at your interests and your skills, mm-hmm. and your values and the way you work, your environment that you want to work in,
mm-hmm.
All those sorts of areas. It's like seven different areas. And after that tool, she went off and did that tool. She paid me, she went off and did the tool.
Mm-hmm.
And then she, about a year later, she emailed me and she said, oh, you know, thank you so much. She said, I've left the job I hated and I'm now in a job I love.
Right.
And I didn't even take her through the purpose stuff. We just did the career tool because that's all she wanted.
Right.
But it really showed me that I could make a difference in someone's life.
Right.
And she was the first positive testimonial I got back. And
wonderful.
Since then I've got more, and which has been wonderful. People have come back and I've put them in my book, the testimonials, and it really showed me that I could make a difference.
Right.
And it encouraged me to go that step further and actually coach people through not just finding careers, but finding their purpose.
Right.
And often their careers were wrapped up in that. They
continued
because they were unhappy in their career.
Right.
And then I helped them discover their life's purpose. And some people change their careers. Some people just shifted sideways and, for example, went from a policy into a practical job.
Right, okay.
And other people changed their careers completely. And other people decided they were going to write books like I did.
Mm-hmm.
And it all depended on what their purpose was and how they were living that out.
Wow, that is so good. That's really good stuff. Well, ladies and gentlemen, you know that you are listening to Edna White on Keeping It Real on Purpose. And today's guest is, I'm going to say, I'm about to mess your name up. Listen, do you hear me? You hear me? I'm about to mess it up. I was about to call you something else, but I know that. So I just learned that today. You have to know who you're talking to. But Amanda Heal is here with us today, audience. Audience, you know that I'm a little crazy, but I love being, you know, I'm a lovely crazy. But, you know, what we're hearing today is an inspirational speaker who's a life purpose champion, who's encouraging others to take courageous steps to reach their full potential. And I want you to tell them where you are, which I'm loving, but tell them where you are located.
I am in Canberra, Australia, which is the capital. It's about a three hours drive southwest of Sydney, which a lot of people do know because of the Harbour Bridge and the Opera House and the news fireworks and such. So, yes, I'm about three hours southwest of Sydney.
Mm-hmm.
My car about an hour's flight, and in Canberra.
Okay. Yeah. That's great.
And it's a beautiful sunny day right now.
Oh, well, I'm jealous. Stop it now. We're in New York. It's cold. It's cold. Stop it now. But I feel the heat radiating from you. I'm receiving it. Now, audience, I believe that Amanda does do virtual. Am I right?
That's correct. Yes, I do face-to-face and virtual events. I'm all set up with cameras and lights and backdrops and such, yes,
all that great stuff. Okay, great. And you do speaking engagements as well.
I do. I help business leaders and their teams to build their resilience by and overcome uncertainty by building their courage.
Okay, great. So what are the best resources that helped you? You know, give our women who have businesses out in that audience some best resources that helped you in your business.
Resources. Okay, good coaches.
Ooh.
It's essential to have good coaches.
Nice.
Absolutely.
Nice.
And as you move along, as you grow, you perhaps need to get the next level up coach.
Right.
So I'm very thankful to the coaches that have worked with me and are still working with me.
Mm-hmm.
I am very thankful to the books that I've read. I cut my teeth on John C. Maxwell's books. So I'm very, very grateful to him.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm also a John C. Maxwell trained.
Okay.
I'm on the John Maxwell team, so
yes.
Trained speaker, trainer and coach.
Right.
I've actually been able to almost sit at his feet and in Orlando and listen to him speak, which has been an honour.
That's great. That's really great.
I am very grateful for my faith.
Okay.
And I don't know how much I can speak about that, but
you can speak about whatever you like. You know, share about the faith, because faith is important when we're on this entrepreneurial journey. Faith is very, very, very important.
Well, I'm not the CEO of my business. God is.
I like it.
And when I surrendered my business to God, that's when things happened.
Mm-hmm.
And he comes up with ideas that no one can. He comes up with ways of doing things that no one can. And sometimes, while the world does things certain ways, sometimes if we're godly business owners, we have to do things a slightly different way.
Okay.
So, yes, God is the CEO of my business.
Okay. All right. That sounds great.
And it's his strength that keeps me going.
Amen
for
that.
When times are tough.
Amen. So now we're going to just turn the tables a little bit, because we all know that everything, you know, every business has their challenges, and then we also have our failures. Can you share with us one of your failures and what you learned from it?
Oh my gosh, yes. I remember when I was selling skincare and we had a new Christmas catalog launched.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to have a Christmas event.
Right.
And so I contacted about 100 people and I said, oh, yes, I've got this wonderful new catalog and blah, 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 and all this lovely new product and come and see it. And I picked the weekend and it just turned out that it was the weekend that our Canberra show, our cultural show was on. And most of Canberra ends up going to the show. And so I contacted 100 people and two turned up.
Oh, wow.
Over the 2 days that I was having this event, I was absolutely shattered. I cried for like a week.
Mm-hmm.
And it made me realize that just because I think something's good, mm-hmm. doesn't mean that everybody else does. And just because I pick the time that suits me doesn't mean it suits everyone else. So
that's right.
If you're going to sell something to your market, you have to work out what your market wants,
right.
and when they want it.
Right. Research and development. Research and development, right? You're researching yeah. everything, you know. I had the same, like you. I had this vision because I had the problem, you know. So I didn't talk to my audience. I didn't. I was like, why isn't anybody, like, picking this up? And, of course, I was frustrated. And you know how many times you change your business, you know, the way you're doing it, the mechanics of it.
Oh, yeah.
You change the mechanics of it all the time. It's like, oh, you got to change this, got to change that. It's not looking great. You got to change, you know, your model. You got to do, you know, taglines, everything. And it shifts and changes, but... that big failure of just what you just said is knowing that it's not about you, it's about who you want to serve, you know, and you have to learn from that. And that's really important is to know that as entrepreneurs, it's not all about us, you know, and could be, but we have to find out what our audience really wants from us, because it could be the best thing that we know. But because we're so busy at it, I didn't hear that, you know, and they need to hear this, you know, and we short ourselves. That's really good. It's really good.
Unless you've got a truckload of money, build it and they will
come. It doesn't work. You got that right. That's excellent. What advice would you give someone wanting to pursue a career in speaking?
Oh, gosh. Okay. Where do I start? There's so much.
No, go ahead. Tell us.
Have faith in yourself. I think that's the first one, because for me, standing up and speaking is not scary. I can speak underwater. I've tried and I can. So standing up and speaking in front of people does not frighten me at all, but many people, it frightens them half to death. So have faith in yourself. Know that there are people in the audience who are absolutely 100% for you. And so that's the first one. Get your message clear. Know what it is that you want to say and practice. Practice, 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 practice. I've heard someone say once, practice 1 hour for every minute that you will speak.
Oh, that's really good. That's really good right there.
And that's really doesn't include the preparation time.
No, right.
Another thing is, don't memorize your stories. Tell them from the heart.
Oh, yes.
Memorize the connecting bits, but don't memorize the stories. Because if you memorize them, then now, once upon a time, there was a such and such and such, and you don't want to speak like that because you sound like a beginning speaker. You sort of want to be able to tell the stories from the heart, mm-hmm, and then the audiences think that's the first time you've told the story, because it is. It's the first time you've told it to them.
Right.
Because you're telling it from the heart.
Yeah. Excellent. That is so good. And audience, I want you to know that Amanda has said some great things, especially about when you're going into this business, have faith. You know, that's number one. It's very important. Number two, what she said now, number two was, you know, get your story right. Is that what you said? The second one was get the story right.
Yeah. Get your message clear.
Right. Very clear.
Get it really clear. Yeah. What you're going to say and who you're going to say it to.
Yeah. And get it clear, you know, and then tell your story from the heart. You know, you have to have a story to lean into who you're serving, is what that connection is. And practice, practice, practice. I love it. You have to practice. You have to practice. It's not going to be perfect even when you practice, but at least you're practicing and you're getting started on your way, because it brings confidence when you practice. That's very good stuff.
And it becomes part of you. It's not just a story that you're telling. It becomes part of you, and you can tell it without even thinking about it. You can tell it without your notes. You can tell it without looking at your PowerPoint presentation.
Right.
It just becomes part of you.
That's right. It's true. You don't have to look at anything. And I thankfully I do that. And I was like, this must be something wrong with me because I don't have to write anything down. I'm like, what's wrong with me? You know, I see people with papers and what's wrong with me? And, and I'm saying it from the heart and works. And I said, what's wrong with me though? I really have to write something down. And do you get this, that you'll think about writing something down or have it, you know, kind of set. This is what you're going to say, right? And then all of a sudden, things kind of go another way. And everything that you thought you were going to say, you didn't say. And you're thankful. You're kind of thankful. Like, yeah, I didn't need to say that because this is what happened in the audience. You know, these are participators that came up, you know, so it changes. But when you're in the heart, when you're in the spirit and when you're in the heart, it works out every time.
Absolutely.
It does.
And I'm sorry about my phone talking in the background. I've just
That's
shut
okay.
it up. I didn't.
That's okay.
Because my phone speaks. And so even though I've got it on silent mode, it says, you know, 5 notifications or 6 notifications, or which is very annoying.
I know.
So sorry about that.
Yeah, that's okay. So this is the audience. This is my favorite part, and it's definitely your part. We're going to find out who Amanda Heal is, and we have 2 questions for her. Okay, so you know what they are, ladies and gentlemen. Now, my number one favorite. We're going to find out all about what you like. Okay, Amanda, if you had a billboard, and they said put anything you want on that billboard, up in the air over California, let's just say, what would it say?
If you are facing a challenge, which seems a bit overwhelming, it's a little bit too hard, you can do this. Just reach down inside, grab out the courage that I know is in you, and you'll be just fine.
Lovely. You hear that, ladies and gentlemen? Lovely. Courage, courage, courage. Love it, love it, love it. Okay, last question to you about you. If you had to pick a last meal, what would it be?
Oh gosh, that's hard. Because I love food. Chocolate lava melting cake.
I saw that the other day on YouTube, and I was like, ooh, that looks so good.
Oh, it is. Oh my gosh, yes, it is.
You would have that. And would you have something to drink with that? What would you have? That would be your dessert, right? Your dessert?
That would be my dessert, yes.
Okay.
My meal, I don't know what my main meal would be. I just like too many things. maybe pasta, spaghetti with seafood and garlic and chili.
Oh.
And my dessert, my drink would be a really super oaky, old-fashioned, buttery, caramelly Chardonnay.
Oh, we don't have that here. I gotta look for that. See, I'm writing down this stuff. I take the ideas and like I gotta try that. But that's really I haven't had that in a long while. But that's very
They're very
good.
Hard to get because they don't
yes.
make them like that anymore. They make
no.
fruity Chardonnay, so it's really hard to get the
yes.
really big, bold, oaky ones that have been sitting in French oak for like years and years.
Oh, that sounds so delicious. And with that chocolate cake, oh goodness. Well, Amanda, you have now stirred me up. I'm going to start looking for these 2 things because I the second time I heard about this cake, I saw it one time and I was like, oh, it looks really delicious. And now I got to go search for it now. And that's really great. So this brings us to the end of this episode, ladies and gentlemen. And we want to thank our guest, Amanda Heal, for joining us during this great time on Keeping It Real on Purpose with the topic of plain courage. We hope that this episode brings you value and that you get in touch with either myself, Edna White, or Amanda Heal, who is in Australia. And I hope that you get something out of this episode. It's always a pleasure. Thank you for listening to Keeping It Real on Purpose. And remember to always draw abundance have happiness, and a whole lot of fun. This is Edna White and Amanda Heal saying bye for now.
If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.